Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Text Number 46. Tavat Sarve Vatsapala Pashito Jasha Tachanat Vyadrishanta Gana Shaima Pita Kosheya Vasasa. Tavat, so long, Sarve, all, Vatsapala, both the calves and the boys, tending them. Pashata, while he was watching. Ajasya, of Lord Brahma. Tachanat, immediately. Yadrishanta, were seen. Ganashayama, as having a complexion resembling bluish rain clouds. Pitakosheya vasasa, dressed in yellow silk garments. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Then, while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. Purport, while Brahma was contemplating, all the calves and the cowherd boys immediately transformed into Vishnumurtis, having bluish complexions and wearing yellow garments. Brahma was contemplating his own power and the immense, unlimited power of Krishna. But before he could come to a conclusion, he saw this immediate transformation. All these this is text number 48. 47 to 48. All these personalities had four arms, holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, Kostuba gem around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, the sacred bells around their waist. They all appeared very beautiful. Purport. All the Vishnu forms had four arms, with conch shell and other articles. But these characteristics were also possessed by those who obtained Swarup Murti in Vaikuntha, and who consequently have forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms, appearing before Lord Brahma, also possess the mark of Srivatsa and a Kostuba gem, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all of these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely His associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu Himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently, Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Srivats mark is described by the Vaishnava Toshini as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. Text 49. Every part of their bodies, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshiping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. Purport, the word Buri Punyavad Arpitai is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu are worshipped by those who have performed pious activities, Sukhitibi, for many births and who were constantly engaged in devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Bhakti, devotional service, is the engagement of those who have performed highly developed pious activities. The accumulation of pious activities has already been mentioned elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Sukadeva Goswami says, Itam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijarup krita punya punja. Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman, the effulgence of the Lord, and those who are engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of God as Master, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. In our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamal tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was being neglected, was lying neglected. But now it has developed very luxuriously, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is a sign of Buri Punya. One more verse, text 50. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Purport. Those Vishnu forms bless the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resemble the increasing full light of the moon, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitarana. As maintainers, they glance upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Their smiles resemble the mode of goodness, protecting all the desires of the devotees, and the glancing of their eyes resembles the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word Raja means not passion, but affection. In the material world, Rajaguna is passion. The spiritual world is affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by Rajaguna and Tamaguna, but in the Sruta Sattva, the affection that maintains the devotees is transcendental. The word Swakartanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of the Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. Pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of the devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. In the material world, desire is a product of Rajaguna and Tamaguna, but desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus the word Swakartanam refers to the eagerness to serve Krishna. In Vrindavan there is a place where there is no temple, but a devotee desire it. Let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of the devotee. Urvamalam adakshakam ashvatam prahur avyayam Jadamsi yasya parnarni yastvam veda savedavit. Ordva. What does ordva mean? Ordvam mulam. What does mulam mean? Mula. Dasamula. What's that? No, that's Bija. Mula, Dasamula, means root. Ordva means up. Ordva Mulam, Ada. Ada, what's the opposite of up? Just see if anyone's awake. Ada Shaka. And what Shaka mean? Saka. What's that? No, that's Shaka. This is Shaka. This is Shaka, not Saka. Shaka. Ordva Mulam Ada Shakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyayam. What is Ashvata? What is an Ashvata? What's that? That's Ashva. Gaja, actually. Ashva is horse. Ashvata means a banyan tree. So, Orvamula Ada Shakam. Something that has its roots upward and its branches down. Ordva Malam Adak Shakam Ashvatam Prahur. And it's called, it's a banyan tree, it's a banyan tree. Prahur means it's called. Ashvatam Prahur Avyam, eternal banyan tree, goes on forever. Ordva Malam Adak Shakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam. Chidamsi, what does Chidamsi mean? Chidamsi yasya parnana, yastvam veda savedavit. Chidamsi. Vedic hymns. Yes, your parnani, of whom the leaves. So, the Vedic hymns are its leaves. So there's a banyan tree, which has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. Orvamala dakshakam ashvatam prahur avyam. Chidamsi yasya parnarni. Yas tvam veda savedavit. And one who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. So what tree is that? What tree is being described? What's that? Are you sure? Well, might as well be convinced if you're going to say something. I want that. I want that. Could you imagine a little kid saying, "Oh, mommy, I think I want to do that." Maybe he says, "I want that," then the mother, at least it's clear. Yes, the ashvata is the material energy, which what has its roots upward and its branches down. Where do you find that? A tree that has its roots upward and branches down. Have you ever seen a tree with its roots upward and its branches down? Yes, by the lake. If you go to a lake. Well, whatever seems to be the roots, the beginning of the tree, they're up. If you go to see a reflection, if you go to a lake and you see a reflection in the lake, what appears to be on the down and what appears to be closer to you? It's talking about the where it's connected to the earth. As far as you can see, you can't see the roots anyhow. But anyhow, you can see that the where the roots would be are closer to you. So they're down, they're up. And the other parts of the branches are all down. They're down away from you. Yes? You think Krishna got it wrong? He isn't speaking this eternally. Right, he's speaking. He got it down pretty well. We have to adjust our brain to understand it. Not that, hey Krishna, I think you got it wrong. Next time you speak Bhagavad Gita, maybe you should modify it a little bit. So this is material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And so what's important here is unimportant in the spiritual world. And what's important in the spiritual world is unimportant here. Oh, it's... So here it mentions that the material world is composed of the... What is the water in the lake? What does that compare it to? Sattvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava ibananti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. Material nature consists of what? The three modes of material nature. Or this body consists of the three modes of material nature. Sattvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava. So material nature is composed of the three modes of material nature. When a living entity comes in contact with the material nature, he becomes conditioned by it. Just like when a fly comes in contact with a spider web, what happens? He gets stuck on it. So we've come in contact with the three modes, and we become stuck on the material in the material energy. But it's just a reflection of the real world. But still, we're trying to lick the bottle of honey, hoping to get a taste of the honey within the bottle. Although it's a very difficult, mostly the imagination, we're imagining, we're enjoying the material energy. But it looks real. And because it's an expansion of Krishna, it has some of Krishna's attractiveness. Otherwise, how it wouldn't attract us unless it has some of Krishna's attractiveness. So the material nature is the reflection, and it's reflected upon the three modes. But because the living entity is eternal, his consciousness is also eternal. It's not that when we come to the material nature, we become something different. We're exactly the same. What does Krishna says? Ita prakashiya ekam krishnam lokimam ravi kshetra kshetri tita krishnam prakashiti bharata. What does that mean? Who's the Bhagavad Gita scholar here? You are? Ita, what does prakashiti mean? What does prakash mean? To illuminate. Yata prakashiya yekam. Yata prakashiya yekam. Kritsnam lokim imam rivi. Kshetra kshetri tita kritsnam prakashiti bharata. Just like the sun illuminates one within the body, so the living entity within the body illuminates the entire body by consciousness. Yata prakashiya yeka kritsnam, the whole, lokam, universe, imam, ravi, who's ravi? The sun, yes, ravi. So just like the sun, Eka is one within the Kritsnam, the whole universe. Lokam, actually. Lokam, the Kritsnam means the whole. So just like the whole universe is illuminated by the sun. So, yata prakashi ekam kritsnam lekam mamari. Kshetram, kshetri. What is kshetram? Or, in this particular case, the body, yes. Kshetri. This body, kshetram, kshetri, the soul. Kshetram, kshetri, tata kritsnam. So the whole, prakashiti bharata. So the soul within the body illuminates the entire body with consciousness. So the soul has not changed at all. Nothing has changed, except that he's been put into the three modes of material nature. And therefore his experience has changed. Just like if you mix sweet rice with sand, the sweet rice is still there, but the sand doesn't make it taste, it won't taste very good. The sweet rice, if it has sand in it. So similarly, the living entity, when he becomes mixed up with the modes of material nature, his original experience changes. So here it says, when the mode of passion mixes up with the original affection of the living entity, it becomes material desire. Material desire for, instead of loving affection for Krishna, pleasure, it becomes mixed up with desire for material enjoyment, which is material energy, is anything but enjoyable for the soul. It's the lust that afflicts the soul. Abritam gyana etena, gyanino nityavarena, kama rupena kundaya, dusparena analena cha. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So the soul experiences lust in the material world. Instead of pure love, he experiences lust. That's called material desire, is lust. And therefore his original affection or love gets mixed up, and he doesn't experience actual love or affection anymore. He experiences lust. And his happiness is in satisfying the lusty desires he has. And when he can do that consistently, it's called greed. When he can't do it anymore, it's called anger. So lust transfers to different material experiences or emotions. So here it says that Krishna, in the form of Vishnu, in his Vishnu forms, he was smiling. And what does the smiling create? Does anyone remember what the smiling creates? Does it create anything, the smiling? Does anyone remember what is the difference between Krishna and his associates? How can you tell if it's associate? How can you tell if I was Krishna or if I was one of his associates? How would you know? If someone walked in here with four arms, carrying a conch shell, wheel, disc, and lotus flower, how would you know if he was Krishna or not? What's that? Srivatsan, what else?
Peacock
feather. Peacock feather, no, Vishnu doesn't. That's Krishna. What was that? He has a Kaustubha gem. So if someone says to Krishna, you should ask them, or Vishnu, you should ask them for the, can you show me your Kaustubha gem? I'll trade you for a garland. So that's the clear glances and smiles. So it smiles, the full moon, light of the moon, resemble the mode of goodness, protecting all the desires of the devotees. So Krishna's smiles keeps the devotees protected from the modes of material nature. They're so sweet that one doesn't want anything else but to see Krishna's smile. And his glances are compared to what? What mode of nature? Mukunda. No. It's all right, but what does it say here? What is this? What is his glance compared to? Which mode of material nature? Rajas, yes. But in reality, what is it?
Affection,
yes. It's actually love. So it's pure affection. And when pure affection gets mixed up with Rajagun in the material world, it becomes lust. It resembles affection, but it's actually just this material desire to gratify the urges of the senses. Therefore, if one wants to receive Krishna's glance to become eligible, then Krishna says, Yehi samsparshita bhoga dukha yona evate adyanta vante kontiya na teshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses with their objects. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and the wise man, O son of Kunti, doesn't delight in them. Shakno tihaiva yaksho dum praksharira vimokshana kama krodha bhavan vegam sukta sukhinara. Before giving up this present body, one is able to check the forces of desire and anger. He said to be a yogi and is happy in this world. I wonder if I got that one. Shakno tihaiva yaksho du praksharira vimokshana kama krodha bhavan vegan sukta sukhinara. See, what chapter is that? 5. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is said to be, he is well situated and happy in this world. So in other words, in order to invite the glance of affection for Krishna, we have to tolerate our desires to serve our senses, our lust, and shakno dihaiva yak praksharira vimokshana kama krodha bhavan vegans yukta sukhinara. Our desire to serve our lust and anger, we have to tolerate attachment and aversion. Then we become eligible to receive the glance of affection for Krishna. Otherwise, then we're just absorbed, our consciousness is absorbed in serving lust, anger, greed, etc., illusion. And we're unhappy doing that because there's no happiness there. There's no love and affection. There's only suffering. And the name is so-called happiness. So Vishnu was glancing at his devotees and he was smiling at the devotees that were present there, and that protected them because they gave them the higher taste. Seeing Krishna's happiness fills one with unlimited happiness. And Krishna's glance fills of affection completely satisfies the devotee. Krishna is and inspires them for devotional service. So devotional service is not inspired just by hearing theoretically that Krishna is God and we should surrender. Because there's so many people who are better than we are, superior, and we don't surrender to them. Why should we surrender to Krishna? We've been here trying to fight against him. But when we get Krishna's glance of mercy, when we become eligible for it, and we feel the pleasure coming from the affection, coming the love that comes from Krishna, then we become inspired to do service for him. Sometimes people are intellectual and they can understand, but unless they use their intellect, their intelligence, and they serve, but unless they do it in the right way, and unless they get the higher taste, some feeling of affection coming from Krishna, either directly or through his devotees, then their intellect, they don't get what they're looking for, they'll give up devotional service. Because they're not getting what they're looking for. Satisfaction by satisfying others and feeling their happiness, their affection by doing so, that inspires us to do more service. So I'll stop there. Thinking any questions or comments? So we don't have to. Yes.
The last part of the purport makes me think this is still translated by Srila Prabhupada, or
yes, this whole book is translated by Prabhupada.
Okay. Because there's this reference that one devotee wanted a temple in Vrindavan.
Yeah, that's
Prabhupada.
Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada wasn't writing these things from false ego, because he understood he was an instrument for Krishna. Therefore, he could write that without false ego. Anything else? Hvala, Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.